Welcome to Mastering Logical Fallacies, the online course. This is the audio version of the online course presented at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. For the complete learning experience, including multimedia presentations, quizzes, assignments, peer-to-peer discussion, instructor interaction, and more, enroll as a student at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am your instructor for this course. The ad hominem fallacy is a very common form of a fallacy. It's used all the time, and it's also abused all the time, and I think that's an important distinction. This fallacy occurs in four common forms. They're known as abusive, circumstantial, guilt by association, and tu quoque, and we'll talk about all four. First, the circumstantial is the example that I used in the book is about a car salesman. And the car salesman is obviously talking about selling the car and trying to sell the car the best he can. And he's saying a lot of things about the car. And probably he might be arguing that this is a better car than other cars. And you might think, because he's a car salesman and his interest is in selling the cars, which is perfectly valid, that makes perfect sense, you might therefore conclude that he is committing a fallacy, or that he is not sincere in what he is saying, that what he is saying about the car is necessarily false. And that's where it becomes a fallacy. When you assume that not only does he have a self-interest, which clearly he does, and that's okay, we all have self-interests, but when you assume that his argument must be wrong because of the self-interest, purely because of the self-interest, not on the basis of the argument itself or because the facts are wrong, but just because he has a self-interest. That's where it becomes a fallacy. The guilt by association is when the source is viewed negatively because of its association with another person or group who is already viewed negatively. And this is common when in debates. It's very common in political debates when somebody is running for office. You want to point out who that person is associated with. You see a lot of those negative ad campaigns. Yeah, this person had this person over their house for dinner. Would you want to vote with somebody who associated themselves with this person? And if, just like everything, there's some truth to it. What is this person doing hanging out with that person? And that makes you think that because they're associated, that the person who is doing the association, the person who is being associated with the other person, that those negative qualities of, let's say, person B are automatically, by some magical force, transferred to person A. And that's where the fallacy is. So just because somebody likes somebody, somebody says something nice about somebody who has done bad things, I'll give you a perfect example. One of my heroes, and I put heroes in quotes, I don't know if I have any real true heroes, but a person that I admire, I should say, is Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump has some whacked political views, and I'd be the first to admit that, but I don't admire him for his political views. I admire him for some other things that he's done, mostly business-wise. And some of his views on running business and so forth. Again, not everything. We could easily pull up dirt on him and how he's treated people mean and so forth, but that's a different story. Now, if you were to say that Bo's a moron and you don't want to trust Bo because he likes Donald Trump, well, that would be committing this fallacy. You're assuming that because Donald Trump has done some off-color things or has said things that were kind of shocking, therefore I must support those things because I overall have associated myself in a positive way with Donald Trump, and that's where it becomes fallacious. We have to understand that when we're talking about associating ourselves with other people and admiring people for different reasons, it's for different reasons. Just because we admire somebody, we don't admire everything about them. So we got to be careful when making that association. The ad hominem tu quoque. And this is known as the U2 fallacy, or otherwise known as hypocrisy a lot of times. This is one that parents should be very familiar with. It's basically leading by example. Think about it. Or maybe it's the opposite of leading by example. When you lead by example, you're doing things and saying things that you want other people to do. You want people to emulate your behavior. The ad hominem here is when you're saying something and doing something opposite. So you're saying, you might tell your kids, look, kids, you should never smoke. Smoking is a horrible thing. It's terrible. And then you go light up a cigarette. Just because you lit up a cigarette, it doesn't negate everything you said about smoking. And that's where the fallacy is. When you assume that because somebody is doing something opposite than what they're saying, then what they're saying must not be true. Well, again, there's some truth to this, because you could think if somebody's talking that negatively about smoking and they're aware of all of the terrible things that are associated with smoking and yet they still smoke, well, sure, you could talk about dependency and you could talk about addiction, how strong it is, but still that everything that they're saying cannot be that powerful, because it's not powerful enough to pull them away from their addiction. Or their addiction could be so incredibly powerful that no matter how powerful the argument is, it's still not enough to pull away from their addiction. The point is that it doesn't matter what they do necessarily in terms of the validity of the argument that they're making themselves. Now, if they say something like nobody should ever smoke, and then they go ahead and smoke, and they say that everybody who smokes is a moron, or they're an idiot, or they're stupid, or whatever, then you could say, yes, that's definitely hypocrisy there, because you're smoking. So obviously, there are reasons why people still smoke that are more persuasive than not smoking. And some of those reasons may include addiction. But so it would be fallacious to... The fallacy here is when you're saying what their argument is, that that you shouldn't smoke, is fallacious or not true because they're smoking. And it's an important distinction. You need to know that just because they have some bad habits, or they cannot break free from this habit or whatever, when they're saying people generally shouldn't do it, or it's a bad thing to do, then that makes perfect sense, even though that they may do it. However, if they do say that nobody should ever do it, and then they go behind closed doors and go ahead and do it, then yes, that's a problem. That's hypocrisy, and it's perfectly legitimate to point something out. And that's when people use absolutes. So I think that's a fair distinction between what is fallacious and what is not fallacious. And then finally, we have the ad hominem abusive, which is just as it sounds. It's basically attacking the person instead of the argument. So if somebody has a good argument, they make a good point, and you can't think of a good response, or you don't concede the point, you just blurt out something negative about them, the person actually that's making the argument. And that is the ad hominem abusive. It's kind of funny at times when you see people resort to this. And it's actually a good feeling, too, if you recognize this fallacy and if you know the person is actually making it. And it's good if you point it out too, because what that means is you pretty much back them into a corner. You put them in a position where they're getting very defensive and they can't come up with a good rebuttal. They can't come up with a good counter argument. What you said, they probably agree with, but they can't actually admit it. So they resort to the ad hominem abusive. So that's all I have to say about the ad hominem fallacies. Poisoning the well is a form of the ad hominem fallacy, where basically what one person is doing is priming the audience to really not like the opponent in some way. This is a little bit different than a direct ad hominem attack, because usually an ad hominem is in a dialogue type of situation, or just in a case where one person is writing about another person. It could be a one-way communication or a two-way communication. The poisoning the well is really more of a preparatory technique, in a way to prep an audience to have a negative perception of the opponent from the very start. And this is fallacious because the content that is being given is not two-sided. It's obviously very one-sided information, very opinionated, and it's with an attempt to actually set a negative tone. I think one of the greatest examples of poisoning the whale is, well, just as a generic example, it's any time a lawyer gives an opening statement, what they try to do is, a good lawyer will not only tell their side of the argument, but they will kind of make a straw man and mischaracterize the other side of the argument. But it's also poisoning the well because they're trying to prep the jury in automatically having a very negative feeling about the other side. And a specific example of this can be found in one of the greatest movies of all time, A Few Good Men. When Captain Jack Ross gives his opening statement, he says, "Lieutenant Caffey is going to try and work a little magic here. He's going to try a little misdirection, astonishing stories of rituals, dazzle you with official-sounding terms like code red. And he may even try to cut into a few officers." Now, one could argue that he's just stating the facts, but if we look at the terminology being used, for example, Lieutenant Caffey is going to try and work a little magic here. Work a little magic is obviously not a fact. It's very prejudicial language that's pejorative, that's trying to show, look, he doesn't have facts on his side, so he's going to try to conjure up some facts by magic. The next line he uses is, he'll try a little misdirection. Again, the word misdirection is implying something that is deceptive. He's trying to trick you like a magician, like a stage show. So that is very negative in itself and thus poisoning the well. Astonishing stories of rituals. Well, I guess that could pass. Astonishing stories, maybe a little bit of hyperbole there, but it doesn't matter. It is clear that these aren't just facts relevant to the argument, but there's also other stuff in there, and this other stuff can certainly be seen as poisoning the well. Now, as a lawyer, would I want an attorney poisoning the well? Of course I would. When we're in court defending our lives, we don't mind using a few fallacies if they work. So I don't mean to minimize the techniques used by attorneys in the court of law. This is necessary for the most part, or at least very effective. So once again, a fallacy is just basically an error in reasoning, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it can never be used and it's always incorrect. It could be argued here that the fallacy isn't committed by the person actually making the argument, but the fallacy is committed by the people listening to the argument and taking it as fact. So once again, where do you point the finger? Well, it's difficult to tell for sure.